We are stepping into a new sermon series. Who's ready for it? All right. Awesome. I'm ready for it. I've been excited about this series, been working on it for the last month and a half, and we're going to spend 5 weeks asking the question and answering it, who do you think you are? Now, I think this is a great question because it's a question that every single one of us asks ourselves every single day when we stand in front of the mirror. And the voices that we hear may come from the world. And we may not like what we hear. The voices that we hear may come from our friends or a family member or a voice we heard years ago, and that voice still haunts us to today. Who do we think we are? Maybe it comes from a classmate or a school member. Maybe it comes from a boss that just repeatedly has told us who we are, and there's nothing but negativity that comes with it. And maybe it's in our own voice when we ask the question, who do we think we are? And we answer it in our own voice. And usually the enemy likes to cloak himself in our voice to convince us of things that just aren't true. And so what we want to do for the next 5 weeks is for you to hear what God has to say about you. Not what others have to say about you. Not what the world has to say about you. But when you are in Jesus Christ, what does God say about who you are? Does that sound good? You ready to hear that? I think these next 5 weeks are going to be a moment of encouragement for you. Because here's what we need to discover. Who we are will determine what we do. Who we are will determine what we do and how we live. Let me illustrate it for a second. When we were living in our prior church experience up in Old Fort, we were in the Tiffin-Fremont area of Ohio serving Old Fort Church. And across the street was a small community called Bettsville, if it could get any smaller than Old Fort. It was Old Fort and Bettsville. And there was this rivalry for years that would go on between Old Fort and Bettsville. As a matter of fact, they're two of the smallest school districts in all of the state of Ohio. And there was rivalries in athletics. There was rivalries with the schools. There was rivalries with neighbors and attitude issues and churches and things of that nature. Well, I started to befriend some people from the United Methodist Church in Bettsville and came to discover that they were going to be without a pastor very shortly. And we had a plethora of talent at our church. And so I decided as a pastor and as a father of kids who are in the school district and as a loving husband that it was my responsibility to do what I could to try to bridge the gap between our two churches. And it was decided after we talked to Bettsville that we were going to bring one of our people from our church into their church and appoint them as their part-time pastor to be able to preach on Sunday mornings. And out of that just grew this wonderful and incredible partnership between the two churches. Well, soon after that, partnerships with the schools emerged. Actually, Bettsville Schools no longer exists, and they were merged into Old Fort Schools, and now the two communities are going to school together. And I'm not saying that what we did together as a church launched a revolution or anything, but I just decided at that moment, if I'm a pastor, if I love Jesus Christ, if I'm a dad, a loving father, and if I'm a husband, a loving husband, then this is what I ought to do. And so when you decide who you are in Jesus Christ, you'll know what to do. In that moment, I knew exactly what I needed to do. I knew that I needed to get with that church in Bettsville and see if there was any way that we could help them out whatsoever. You know, as Christ followers, when we have Christ in our life, we need to know who we are in Christ. Yet so many of us don't. I mean, so many of us walk around and we have no idea who we are in Jesus Christ. And when we don't know who we are in Jesus Christ, we don't know what to do. You know, oftentimes at dinner gatherings, when you're the pastor, guess who gets asked to pray? Nobody knows this? If Pastor Nancy's at dinner gathering, she gets asked to pray. If I'm at a dinner gathering, I get asked to pray. And guess what I do when someone says, well, Pastor, why don't you pray? I said, well, why don't you go ahead and pray? And you can just start to see them get uncomfortable and you can start to see them squirm. And here's what they always say, but that's what you do. That's who you are. You're a pastor. I mean, I'm just an ordinary Christian, they'll say. I mean, I'm just a mom or I'm just a truck driver or I'm just a chef or I'm just an artist or I'm just an athlete or I'm just a student. I'm just a regular, average, ordinary, everyday Christian. And if that's how you feel, I'm here to tell you today, you have no idea who you are. If you think you're average, if you think you're ordinary, if you have Christ in your life, you are lying to yourself. That is a load of garbage. You are more than just ordinary. There is no such thing as an ordinary Christ follower. God has more for you in store in your life. And we want to talk about that. You are filled with the very same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. And you have access to the throne of God. You have all the power and authority you could ever possibly have from the name above all names. There is nothing regular about you. And we're going to help you understand that for 5 weeks. So I want you to look at your neighbor right now, and I want you to look at them and say, there is nothing regular about you. Go ahead, right now. Now, for some of you, that is more true than we could ever possibly fathom. There is nothing regular about you. Some of you are sitting next to your spouse, and you know exactly what we're talking about. There is nothing regular about you. But this is where we're going to be. So let's dive right into Scripture. We're going to talk about who we are today, that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 20, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Be reconciled to God. So standing in Old Fort with Bettsville, I decided that I was a loving father, I was a loving husband, I was a pastor, but I was also an ambassador. I was an ambassador to bring two communities together that really didn't do much together, to bring them together around conversations, to see what God might have us do in that life and in that experience, to see how God might move amongst us and in us. And so here we hear this first call of who we are. And each week we're going to talk about a different name. Today we're talking about the fact that you're an ambassador, but let's back up before we get there. Paul says that you are a new creation, and being a new creation means you have turned your sin over to Jesus Christ when you invited him into your life. And Jesus has taken that sin onto his shoulders, and he's forgiven you of all the old crud that's gone on in your life. And every day you turn your life over to God and you ask for forgiveness, God forgives you of those sins because he's given you a new life. He's given you a whole new life. He's given you new purpose, and he's given your life a whole brand new meaning. You're not just a better you when you find Jesus Christ. You are a brand new person. You are a new creation. That's why they use the phrase born again. You are born again. You are brand new. And it reminds me of the butterflies that we keep at our household. Yes, we keep butterflies in our household. My wife and kids, especially the girls, they love to go out into the fields and find the milkweed, and they grab the eggs, and then they'll take the milkweed, and then they'll raise the butterflies in an aquarium, and they'll feed them the milkweed, and all of a sudden these caterpillars come out of these eggs, and then pretty soon, you know, the caterpillars go into crystallization. I've been paying attention to this too much. I know this language. And it kind of crystallized into this cocoon-like state, and they hang from the ceiling, and then all of a sudden you can start to see that moving around, and out bursts the butterfly. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. Yesterday, the kids let go of like 5 butterflies outside. It was beautiful, gorgeous monarch butterflies. And it was kind of interesting because when Elizabeth was letting go of this one butterfly, it first started on her finger, and she was kind of blowing at it to get it going, and then kind of nudging at it to get it going. I was just like, man, just get that thing off there. I mean, that's the way I would have done things. But the butterfly didn't want to go anywhere, so she put it on a leaf. And so it was walking around a leaf, and I thought to myself, this butterfly has not yet realized that it is no longer a caterpillar, it is a butterfly. And so it's walking around life like it might still be a caterpillar, and until it spreads its wings and flies, it won't realize that it is a brand new creation under God. And sisters and brothers, when we don't know who we are in Jesus Christ, we don't know what to do. We're walking around life like we're a caterpillar when you're meant to be a butterfly in the name of Jesus. And God is here to tell you that he wants you to spread your wings and give you an abundant life that you are called to live. Am I talking to some of the right people here today? I mean, because there's days where we feel like caterpillars crawling around on the earth, and we're just dregging for whatever could possibly come our way. We're miserable. Life is joyless, and our faces feel like they're in the dirt of life, when God has called you to so much more. This is where we are in our life. God has called you to a life of abundance. He's called you to spread your wings, and until you know who you are, you'll not know what to do. And if you don't know what to do in the name of Jesus Christ, we'll feel lost and lonely, and that moment of hopelessness will sink into our lives. God has given you the message of reconciliation. How cool is that? Reconciliation is where two things that were in harmony together are now broken, are brought back together again. And that specifically can be pictured around relationships, where two people were in relationships and then they were broken, but then they come back again. That means that they were reconciled. And God says, I have given you this message of reconciliation. He says, it is your calling. It is your calling. It is your ministry. Did you know that we're all ministers in this place? I mean, it is your ministry. It's your calling. You are called to be a reconciler, to reconcile relationships together between you and other people, between you and God, but most assuredly to help other people reconcile relationships to one another and to reconcile their relationship to God, to help people discover the love of God that we're talking about here today. God has called you to restore relationships with people and their creator God, to make the broken whole again, to make the broken right again. And we carry this message as what? As God's ambassadors. How cool is that? So you're hearing a couple things today. You are a minister, you are a reconciler, and you are an ambassador. You are an ambassador sent by God from heaven to earth. Now, what is an ambassador? You're an ambassador sent by God from heaven to earth. Now, an ambassador is the highest ranking diplomat sent from one country to another. So let's just say I'm the ambassador to Haiti, the United States ambassador to Haiti. And we'll just use Haiti for an example because I just love the country of Haiti. And by the way, I know that there's a new mission trip getting started very soon. Gene Hartman is going to be leading a mission trip again, and I think we're going to be going in January, so now is the time for you to be praying about God using you. We had a great group go last year. God's going to do it all over again in your heart this year, and if you're interested in that, just write that on your connection card. But let's say that you are the United States Ambassador to Haiti. Now, you are not a Haitian, even though you're living amongst Haitians. You are a representative of the United States government. You are a United States citizen, but Haiti is not your home, even though that's where you are. This is who you are. You are the highest-ranking diplomat sent by God from heaven to earth. This is not your home, because the Bible is very clear. You are aliens and you are foreigners in a strange land here. This is not your home. Heaven is your home. You are sent to represent the King from the kingdom of God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are sent as his representatives. This is who you are. You are an ambassador. And when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. And you say, well, how does this apply to my daily life? Because I don't feel much like an ambassador. I mean, how does this apply to my daily life? I can't really see it. And if you ask my friends, they'll say, well, you're not much of an ambassador. You're a mess. You have all kinds of issues. You have all kinds of challenges. You don't get it half the time. You still say and do stupid things in your life. This can't be me. I'm not an ambassador. Well, listen. Hear what God has to say to you today. You are not elected by people, your friends, your family members, the people at work. You are not elected by people. This is going to set you free, by the way. You ready for this? You are not elected by people, but as God's ambassador, you were chosen and appointed by God. You were chosen and appointed by God. And so people's opinions matter very little when it comes to being God's ambassador. It doesn't matter what other people think. What matters is that God has set you apart and you answer to him and him alone. In the name of God. Consider this scripture out of John chapter 15. The author John writes Jesus' words. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. And you say, but I don't feel like an ambassador. I mean, I don't think this matches who I am. I'm struggling right now in my life. I'm not good enough. That doesn't matter. God is your authority. God is your authority, not people. I illustrate it like this. Remember in grade school? And when you're in grade school, the teacher would ask you to run an errand to the office. And this was right like when classes were in session. And you'd go to the principal's office and get that thing done. But you couldn't go without something very important in your back pocket. You needed she'd write you a little note, right? Call it a hall pass. You got a hall pass from the elementary school teachers. Elementary school teachers out here, you know what I'm talking about, right? And you write that little note to that child. And I remember getting a hall pass from the teacher. I loved it because I was on a mission for the teacher. But little did she know, I had some mini side missions on the way to the office, like going to the water fountain. Am I talking to some of the right folk? I mean, like going to the restroom when I didn't need to go because I just wanted to kind of goof off with my time. Or one of my favorite things to do is to walk by one of my buddy's classes because they were in class. I wasn't. So I'd walk by my buddy's class and I'd stand out there and I'd make all kinds of things and act like an idiot and be stupid. And he'd notice me he's looking through the doorway there. And I could just hear what he's saying, even though he can't say it out loud because he's in class. He's like, and he's like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be in class. Only he can't shout it out because the teacher's right there and he'd get in trouble. But I said, and I just pull it out of my pocket. I hold it up. I said, I got a hall pass, buddy. Good luck with that teaching thing. I've got a hall pass. I am on a mission by the teacher. Now, you know what else would happen is you'd be walking down the hallway, and then another teacher would step out into the hallway, and they want to know, Mr. Alice, what are you doing out of class? You need to be in class right now. I'm sorry, ma'am. I have a hall pass. I'm good to go. I'm on a mission for the King, my teacher right now, and I'm going to the office right now because she needs something, and I'm going to return it. It is amazing how powerful you felt as a fifth grader or a fourth grader or a third grader or a sixth grader when you had a hall pass in your hands because you felt like you've been chosen and you've been appointed by the teacher to go and do something very special. Sisters and brothers, it is a description of who you are when you have Christ in your life, because today, if your friends say to you, well, you're not this and you're not that and you're this and you're that, you just pull out your hall pass because you've been appointed by God to do something very special. And if you own that in your heart, you'll live for the approval of God and not the approval of people. And it will change your whole life and your perspective and who you are. Because God has given you a hall pass. I mean, look at the Apostle Paul. He was a mess. He persecuted the church. He murdered Christians. And yet he found Jesus Christ. And when he found Jesus Christ, he became a brand new creation with a brand new purpose and a brand new reason for living. And God made him one of his ambassadors. As a matter of fact, it was so messed up that God sent Paul on a mission to the city to talk to a guy by the name of Ananias so that Ananias could kind of minister to him. And Ananias was so freaked out that Paul was coming when he heard about this because Paul had a reputation of killing Christians. And so Ananias didn't want to have anything to do with it because he knew Paul's reputation. But God had something else to say about Paul. Watch what he says to Ananias about Paul. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. He's thinking he's a murderer. He whacks Christians. He wants to destroy the church. You're telling me he's an ambassador? So don't ever say that God can't name you as his ambassador, because it doesn't matter what your background. If you have Jesus Christ in your life, you are an ambassador. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. If Paul can be, then any of us can be. He says, this is my ambassador to the Gentiles. I've appointed him to represent heaven on earth. He has a hall pass in my name. And Paul is my chosen instrument to be an ambassador to this certain group of people called the Gentiles. Did you know that you are an ambassador to certain groups of people? You're an ambassador to the people in your workplace. You're thinking, those people at my workplace, they can't be reached by anybody. God can reach them through you if you open them up your heart to realize that this is who you're called to be. I mean, you are an ambassador. And when you know who you are, you guys getting this yet? When you know who you are, you'll know what? You'll know what to do. And you'll know what to do in this moment. And so God is calling you to be this ambassador to certain groups of people. I mean, you say, well, listen, it may be at work, it may be at family, it may be on your football team, it may be wherever. You represent him to them. You say, well, I'm not that good. It doesn't matter if you're good, God is, and he gives you a hall pass. And he says, in my name, you are good. I have been the one to set you apart. I'm the one that qualifies you to be who we're calling you to be. Now for me on Sunday mornings, there's moments when I wake up on Sunday mornings where I get a little bit of nerves and butterflies in my stomach. Not real butterflies. I didn't eat the monarch butterflies that are in our house. But I get the butterflies going a little bit. I'm just a little bit nervous because, I think what we do here is pretty important on Sunday morning. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm getting ready to speak to like 600-some people in 3 worship services. And that can kind of start to mess with your mind a little bit. But then all of a sudden, God's reminded me that even though I'm not perfect, even though I have challenges, even though I have problems, even though I'm not a biblical scholar, I don't know everything there ever is to know about theology and God and the Bible, contrary to popular belief. I have questions still, too. Even though I'm not the best, and even though it might feel intimidating, God reminds me that he's appointed me as his instrument to carry his message today. And who am I to think that I'm anything less than what God has set me up to do? And that builds confidence. And when you realize who you are, you know what to do, you can do it with confidence. And so maybe you don't need confidence to talk to 600 people. Maybe for you, it's just one-on-one. Maybe you're an ambassador to one person or an ambassador to a smaller group of people like we've named in your workplace or your family. I remember Austin came to me, my son came to me, and he said, Dad, he said, I've got a friend right now, and he's really walking away from God. He said a couple things the other day, and I'm worried about him. And I said, Austin, I think God has you in his life right now to go and talk to him about that and have a conversation with him and check in with him, see how he's doing and saying, hey, listen, say the same things you did to me to him. I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about your life. You sound down. You sound like you're struggling. What's going on? And I said, listen, you know, God has you in his life. You can be an instrument to him. Now, I didn't use the word ambassador at that time, but I know that when he realized that God had purposed him to be there in that moment, that it wasn't just there to be a friend, but to be a friend in the name of Jesus Christ, it really gave him a confidence to be able to go to him and have that conversation with him. And this is the kind of confidence that you can have this day as you walk out of this place, to know that you are God, you are God's. And when you are God's, you are God's chosen instrument. And that gives you confidence because you realize that you are his representative to other people in this world. You represent him to people and you can represent him to groups. That's why you can allow God to use you in our children's ministry, because you can be an ambassador or representative to our young people. You can be used in our teen ministry. You can be a representative to our teens and our young people. You can be in a life group because you can be a representative to a group of adults in this church. And I know we're full of excuses, but we need to let the excuses go, because we are an appointment by God and we're on a mission. We are on appointment by God and we are on a mission. Maybe that mission for you is to have a burden to share Christ with your boss, or you're led to help a stranger in need. You are God's chosen instrument, and you are his representative here on earth. And if Paul can be God's representative on earth, any one of us can. And when you own it, when you own that in your heart and your soul, no matter what people think, it will change the way you do life forever. No matter what you think in that moment, no matter what other people think, if you own that in your heart, it will change your life forever, because you never represent yourself. You always represent God. Need to hear that truth. You never represent yourself. You always represent God. Now let's go back to the whole United States Haiti ambassador thing. If I'm an ambassador of the United States in Haiti, I'm not there to promote my own agenda. If I was there to promote my own agenda, to line my pockets with my own money, to put together what I think ought to be done, I wouldn't be in a job for very long. I'd be out of work. And so a U.S. ambassador to Haiti is there to promote what agenda? the agenda of the government that you're there representing, the agenda of the United States government. And so the same thing happens. So to promote the values and the interests and the agenda of the government that sends us. And so when you are a representative of the government of the kingdom of God, by the way, the government of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords here on earth, it's never about you. It's not about you. And Jesus gave us the ultimate example of what it means to be an ambassador sent from heaven to earth when he says these words in John chapter 6, verse 38. The Bible records, and the author John writes these words. Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do what? Not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." He's saying, hey, listen, I am here to represent him in all I do. I'm here to glorify and honor him. I'm here to do his work, his business. This isn't about me. It's not about my own agenda. And I think sometimes as a pastor, I know Nancy probably has experienced this before, and Pastor Jeff Conrad, one of our former pastors, he attends at 8:15, and he was nodding his head here this morning. And I think one of the things that frustrates me the most as a pastor is that as a pastor, people put us on a different level. They put us up on a pedestal, a different level of accountability. We get held to a higher standard. Now, I know this, and I get this. I get this, that we are held to a higher standard. We need to live above reproach. It's part of what we agreed to when we signed that covenant, or when we verbally agreed to that covenant when we became ordained elders in the United Methodist Church. I get that. But oftentimes, it's the way that, you know, people look at the way that we spend our money, the way that we spend our time. We're constantly having under the microscope, you know, the way we talk to people, or what we say on Facebook or don't say on Facebook, or we have our hobbies looked at, or the way that we raise our children is analyzed. It's the words that I say. And I often hear at times, if we do or say something that someone else doesn't like, I expect more from a man of God like you. I expect more from a woman of God like you. In fact, I remember when we were in Cleveland playing cards. We like to play cards with Aaron's family, and we play cards with my family as well, but Aaron's family, they're a bunch of card sharks up there. They really like their cards, really good with the cards, especially her grandmother. And her grandmother can play cards, and she always wins. She just always seems to win. Now, you have to understand this about that dynamic, because her grandma is always winning, and this time she's kicking our tail again, and I'm getting lousy cards, and her grandfather's getting lousy cards too. Now, when her grandfather gets lousy cards, he'll verbalize it, and he'll let everybody know in the room that he's really angry, frustrated, and he's just not enjoying the situation at all. And so he's giving her guff, and he's complaining and bellyaching, and I'm getting frustrated too. And I say one word after he's just going on like a diatribe for like 5 minutes. I say, man, these cards are lousy. It'd be nice to get a good card like you've been getting all night. I said something like that. I was getting frustrated. I'm a human being. She looks at me and she said, "Well, you're a pastor. You ought to act better than that." And I'm thinking, have you listened to your husband for the last 10 minutes? Have you listened to your husband for the last 10 minutes? And so it's so frustrating because we get held to this higher standard, rightly so. But the difference is, if you're a Christ follower, you are an ambassador of God, and you too are called to a higher standard. We're all called to a higher standard. So let's not hold people up to a higher standard that we don't think we're called to. Because here's the thing. You know, we can't justify living lower standards just because we have a pastor who we're going to hold accountable to having higher standards. In other words, God's purpose for you is not to live your moral lives vicariously through your pastor. God is calling you too to a higher standard. He's calling all of us to a higher standard. So why not join me and join Pastor Nancy and every other pastor in the world to the higher standard that God is calling us to live? Because, hey, we say to God, I represent Christ in all I do. And if I represent Christ in all I do, I'm being called to a higher standard. And if we own that in our hearts, we'll discover that we are the ambassadors that we are called to be. Who are you? You are an ambassador. And you can change the world because of that. And if you allow it to change your life, you'll be able to change the lives of so many other people. I remember when we were down at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, and this is one of the many times that we've been down there, and it was for one of Isabel's surgeries again, and it was a very traumatic morning for Aaron and for Elizabeth and you know, for our older kids, because oftentimes they've got to stay here and stay with somebody else, and so they're not even able to go down there. And, you know, Aaron's tired and worn out, and she's praying hard, and I'm praying hard, and I remember I was on a mission to go down to the pharmacy and get some medication for Isabel, some painkillers or aspirin or something, and so that we could get her out of there and get her home so she could rest. And I remember standing in that line, and my mind was full of our stuff, the things that we were dealing with, and Isabel, and how's she going to do, and how are we going to be, and how are things going to go, and what's life going to look like. And then I remember the lady standing in front of me was just broke down into tears. She wasn't talking to anybody. She just broke down into tears. And I mean, I could have in that moment just kind of cared about myself and my own wants and needs and desires, but something inside of me wouldn't let me. I remembered who I was in that moment, and I, I just said, ma'am, is there something I can be praying for you about? And she said, my son was just brought in. He was shot in a drive-by shooting. I don't know if he's going to make it or not. And I said, oh my goodness. I said, I think God has just put me here in this moment right now to pray for you. I have a daughter who's just been out of surgery and we have all kinds of challenges. Can we just step out in the hallway and pray? And I just remember praying for her. And I looked at her, I said, you know, God just wanted you to be reminded of his very powerful presence today because he put a pastor right behind you in line. And I believe that I wasn't just here today to care for my own needs, wants, and desires of my family. I was here, God put me here to be here for you in this moment. And this is what an ambassador does. An ambassador doesn't realize that everything around their lives change automatically when Jesus comes into their life, but the way that we view our circumstances does. The way that we see how God is at work and God is moving in our life. And so because I knew who I was, I knew what to do. I knew that this lady needed prayer. Now, I didn't memorize a scripture out to her. I didn't espouse started parsing Greek lexicon verbs to her. I didn't go into a Bible study with her in depth. I didn't get out my seminary degree. I just asked her if she needed somebody to pray with her. And it was just this amazing moment where you could see that she had more peace in her moment than she did before we prayed together. You know, this will happen to you when you believe that this is who you are. Things like this will happen to you when you believe this is who you are, because the opportunities are always there. We'll just start seeing them. The opportunities are going to come. When you know who you are, you're going to know what you need to do. And you say, well, I can't do that. I don't know how to speak on behalf of God. Well, this is what Paul did. Paul spoke on behalf of God with the authority that he was given. Remember, Paul was the foremost of all sinners. He was not eloquent in speech, but he spoke in authority. And here's what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8. He writes, I may seem to be boasting too much about the authority given to us by the Lord, but our authority builds you up. It doesn't tear you down. So I will not be ashamed of using my authority. I will not be ashamed of using my authority. You see, we're not under our own authority and power in those moments when God calls us to be an ambassador. You know, it's not just that whether we're good enough or whether we're not going to be able to make it or we're not going to be able to hack it or cut it. It's God's authority. It's God's power in our life. And this is what we do. We unashamedly use the authority of Christ in our life and not our own power to accomplish his great work here in this world because we are his ambassadors. You have all authority and power that you need in Jesus Christ. Now, if I were to walk out here to this intersection here at Maysville Pike and Panther Drive, and when church let out, and I stood in the middle of the intersection, and when the light turned green, I stood there and put my hand out, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to be run over. There was too much energy about that question in the first service. I had a couple people that were standing in line. I don't know. Put my hand, but I'm glad, maybe only one or two in here are standing in line for that, but put your hand out, and nothing's going to happen, right? I don't have the authority to stop traffic. I mean, I'm just an average Joe. But you put a blue uniform on me and a badge on my chest, and you have a police car sitting next to me with the lights going, and I put my hand out with a whistle in my mouth, what's going to happen? I'm stopping traffic, baby. But not because of my power and authority, but because of the badge that's represented by the government that has given me the authority and the power to go ahead and be able to alter traffic patterns. This is what God gives you when you have Jesus Christ in your life. As a Christian, we don't come on our own authority. We come as ambassadors under the authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every once in a while, it'll happen in our household where Isabel and Elizabeth are arguing over something, and Elizabeth will come to me and saying, Isabel's doing this, and she won't stop. Or Isabel will come to me and saying, Elizabeth is doing this, and she won't stop. I told her to stop, but she won't stop. And I say, you go back to her, and you tell her that her dad said that she needed to stop. And so either Isabel or Elizabeth, they are on a mission with the authority of the King of Kings of that household. And they are under authority, so they go, and prayerfully, that subsides it. Now, this illustration doesn't work out too well because sometimes it doesn't, and I've got to show up on my own authority and have that conversation with whoever. But you understand the power of the authority that God has given you in the name of Jesus Christ, and this is what God has called you to. And believers over 2,000 years ago, they healed the sick, and they cast out demons, and they raised the dead, not on their own power. The Bible tells us that they did it under the power and authority of Jesus Christ. And in the New Testament, we see that Jesus says to us, hey, listen, I'm leaving and going up to heaven. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit in your life, and you'll be able to do even greater things than I've been doing. So there's no such thing as being a regular Christian. There's no such thing as being a regular Joe or a regular Jane Christian. You are under the power and authority of the King. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has appointed you to be a representative of heaven here on earth. You are not elected by people, but you are elected by God. You are sent on a mission to carry this message of reconciliation as if God was acting and speaking through you. And oh, by the way, he is. You never represent yourself. You represent God. And because you've been crucified with Christ, the old is gone and the new life in Christ has come. And you say, hey, he's living in and through me. I'm his ambassador. I'm his ambassador. I'm not just a mom or a student or a factory worker. I'm not just a regular Christian. There's no such thing as a regular Christian. You are a secret agent of the Most High God planted right where you are to change the world. And when you know who you are, you will know what it is you are called to do. You are not of this world. You are a high-ranking diplomat sent on a mission with all power and authority. You are God's ambassadors. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Here's a couple of action steps for you. Number one, please God, not people. Focus this week on pleasing God and don't worry about pleasing people. I mean, we are such people pleasers in this world and it messes with our whole life. It just gets the path that God has called us to live off kilter. Number two, speak healing into someone's broken moment this week. Open your eyes to the opportunities around you. And there may be a moment like I had in that hospital that day. There may be that moment at work or at school or wherever it is you are with your family. You know, speak healing into someone's broken moment this week and speak this ministry of reconciliation, helping people make what was once broken whole again. Number three, serve God's interests this week, not yours. Ambassadors are not on a mission to serve their own interests. They're on a mission to represent the interests of the government that has sent them. And you are sent by the government of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all you do this week, represent his interests and not your own. Amen.